So after the black house had burned and they're running across the river, they go into the woods, and Bhima's carrying everybody. So he's going through the woods, and he travels all day, you know, all night, because they lit it at night, and then all night, and then the next day, and then it's evening, and his brothers are like, oh, we're exhausted, because he's traveling. He's not tired. So they say, oh, they all say, we're exhausted because so much wind, because he was traveling so fast. And, like, he's traveling, like, one-track mind, like, carrying everybody, going super fast. And if there was a tree in his way, he'd just go and knock it over. And different things, he'd kick tree over, knock it over, punch it over, whatever. And so he was just going. So he traveled the night and then the day and then and that evening. They said, we can't go anymore. So he put everybody down. And they're all, like, sleeping, and Bhima was just sitting there keeping watch. And the place that they stopped was this huge, deep forest, like virgin forest, like monster-sized trees and big, thick vines, you know, canopy, like the black jungle, you know, deep. And so in this jungle, there was one big, huge tree. And on that tree, there lived two Rakshasas. One was named Hadimba and one was named Hadimbi. They're brother and sister. So Hadimba was just kind of sitting up there in the tree. And he's like, sister, do you smell that? I smell humans. He said, go down there and crack their necks and bring them here and we'll feast. So, you know, he was a big, scary monster, you know, with black skin and red hair that stood on end. His teeth, his mouth went from ear to ear. And then he had these two big, like, fangs, set of fangs. And his ears curved around and went over his eyebrows. And they're shaped like crescent moons. And so Hadimi looks scary too. And so she crawled down there, and she went around the corner, and there was Bhima. He's standing. He had a golden complexion and raven black hair and amber-colored eyes. And he was standing there, you know, just keeping an eye. No, when she saw him, she was immediately attracted. Now, there's a story for Hadimbi. There's a reason why she's instantly attracted to Bhima. In her previous life, she was an apsara in the heavens. And what happened is that she was very attracted to Vayu. And Vayu has a wife named Bharani. She's a goddess of, like, speech. Similar to Saraswati, a little different. And so, Vayu was with Bharani at the time. And actually, they're sitting, you know, in their private quarters. And this apsara came, barged in, and pulled Bharani off the couch and immediately started to embrace Vayu. And so Bharani got angry and cursed her and said that, you know, how dare you, you know, interfere, you know, and you become a Rakshashi. So this apsara pleaded with her, and she said, you know, can you not sympathize? He's your husband, but I am also attracted to him. And can you not sympathize with the attraction that I feel, as you obviously feel it as well? And so she said, you're right. So when Vayu comes in the form of Bhima, even though you're a Rakshashi, you'll marry him. So that was, she mitigated. He was adjusted. And so that's the origin of Hadimbi. So, again, she saw him, Bhima, you know, and she was immediately attracted because of that situation. And so she changed her form from being a Rakshashi to a beautiful, like, nymph, like a apsara. And she stepped out very shyly, and, you know, there's a nighttime and dark, and there's a little fire, and Beam is sitting there, and a full moon up ahead, you know, and the light's coming down, and she kind of coyly walks into the light of the fire, and Beam looks up, and she says, "What are you doing here, deep in the woods?" And he says, "What are you doing here? I'm a warrior. You're a lady just here in the middle of the forest." She said, "I won't lie." She said, "My brother is a great demon, and he would kill you. But if you come with me, I'll use my mystic powers, and we will escape." And Bhima said, "I can't leave." He said, "Can you take my whole family too?" She said, "No, I only want to be with you." And he's like, "Well, I can't leave my family here." She said, "No, you have to hurry. My brother's so strong. He's killed so many heroes." And he's like, "I don't think any of them are like me." So then, you know, they're talking, and Rakshasa's, Prabhupada says one time in a purport, or well, in a conversation, that, you know, Rakshasa mentality is that all they want is sense gratification. And if you get in the way of their sense gratification, they kill you. It's that simple. So she, you know, he was wanted to eat these people, and he was expecting her to, you know, snap their necks and be back lickety split. And she hadn't come back yet because she was arguing with Bhima, you know. And he's like, "What's going on?" So he jumped off his tree and he came over, and then he sees his sister. She's looking like a human being, and she's like flirting with this guy, and he's like, "What?" So he comes, he's angry. And he says, "You betrayed me." He said, "I'll kill all these humans, and then I'll kill and eat you too." So that's the Rakshasa mentality. So, then, you know, the big demon comes, and he runs up to Bhima, and he gets him in his grasp. And so Bhima, he didn't want to wake up his family. He's still, you know, they were sleeping. He didn't want to wake them up. So the demon's holding this huge demon, like big as a tree, you know. He's like, "Oh," I got his arms wrapped around Bhima, and Bhima drags him to another glen so that they, you know, that his family won't get woken up by his fighting. So it then becomes, you know, because her life is on the line, she comes to watch the battle. So Bhima and the Rakshasa, you know, they picking up trees and throwing them at each other and rocks, and pretty soon the whole grove is getting dilapidated with the trees, you know. So all the big crashing and smashing is making sounds, so Arjuna wakes up. Now the thing is that Arjuna, he knew that Bhima wanted to kill the demon, but Bhima's kind of having fun, which Bhima does when he's fighting. And he wasn't really going for the kill. So Arjuna came with his bow, and he drew it back, and he's aiming it at the Rakshasa. He says, "Don't worry, brother. Obviously, you can't handle him, so I'll kill him." So Bhima's like, "Shut up. I'm going to take care of him right now." So he goes over to the demon, and he jumps at him. Because, you know, he was mad at the whole Lack House thing and the betrayal by the Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan and all that. So he's like, he was just kind of letting out some of the steam, you know, fighting with Adimba. So he's like, "Okay, it's time to finish it." So he jumps over and he grabs him by the ankles, and he started spinning him around, kind of like, you know, like a helicopter, or started spinning him around, and he spun him around 100 times. And then he smacked him really hard against the trunk of this big tree and broke him and killed him. And so that's how he killed Hidimba, dead. So, you know, Hidimba's watching the whole time, and she's like excited, you know. She's a Rakshasa. They're also same mentality. So then, you know, he's done with the fighting, everybody's awake, and so they start heading away, and Hidimbi's following. So Bhima turns around and kind of looks at her. And he's like, you get out of here or the same thing's going to happen to you. And Hedinbi starts to cry. And she comes and begs the mother. She says, please let me marry your son. You know, you're a woman who's had a husband. You know the feelings that someone must have. And I'm in love with your son and I want to be with him. And Bhima is like, come on. We just got kicked out of our kingdom. I have no way to take care of you. What am I supposed to do? And Hedinbi started to laugh, you know, and she's like, come on, I don't need to be married to you or Rakshasa. She said, I just want to enjoy with you. We'll go spend some time together for a couple months until I have a son, and then I'll go. And Bhima's still kind of refusing. So then Yudhisthira goes to Bhima, and he brings up the classic Kshatriya code, which is that if a woman comes to a Kshatriya and they want to have a child with him. Now, I've seen in other Puranas, that they actually, other Dharma Shastras, that if any woman comes to a man and they want to have a child and he refuses, then it's considered the sin of abortion. But usually what you see in the particular thing that Yudhisthira says is that if it's Kshatriya, and a woman comes to him and they want to have a child and they deny her, then it's considered the same as the sin of abortion. So that way, the Kshatriya is supposed to take care. That's why there's polygamy is allowed, especially for Kshatriyas. So the Yudhisthira says you have to be with her or else it would be sinful. So Bhima's like, okay. So he also, you know, Yudhisthira's looking and he can tell that, you know, for all the tough show that Bhima's making at Hedinbi, he's also looking at it because she looked like a beautiful apsara, you know. So for all the tough show, he's also kind of like checking her out. So Yudhisthira's like, there's no actual animosity there. Bhima's just, you know. So then they just went, and she used her mystic powers and she transported everybody to the foothills of the Himalayas. And then they built a little cottage out of the jungle materials. It's pretty easy. I've seen these houses. It takes like a few days and you got a house. Simple house, but it's, you know, it's nice. So they built this little cottage there. And so for a few months, she would take him to different celestial places in the Buraloka, which is a higher dimensional earth. So there's like, you know, centaurs and all these things, you know, all these things, these new age people. It's like their planet. You got your fairies and your centaurs and, you know, your sphinxes and all these beings. They live in the Borloka and they got, you know, rivers of honey and rivers of mango juice and falling off of giant mountains and trees, monster sized trees and filled with fruits as big as elephants and, you know, gold laying everywhere. It's a nice place to go. All the Gandharvas and the Kinars and Kimpurusha and all these beings, they go there and they enjoy. And so she took him there and they spent a few months there together. And then she got pregnant and then she had the baby. And that was Gathotkach. So it's Gathotkach. I used to say Gathotkach, but you got to say it right. It's the wrong. It's Gathotkach. So Gathotkach was there's a thing with Rakshasas, which is interesting. Yeah, they could conquer the world if they figured this one out. But basically, it takes them about 3 days to go from baby to full grown. That is, they have a boon from, because what happens is, you know, there's a story behind this is that the you know, the Rakshasis, they like the enjoyment, but they don't like the baby. So what they used to do is they'd have the baby and they just toss the baby. And so there is a point, the whole world was resounding with all these screaming baby rakshasas. You know, I can only imagine what that sounded like. So, you know, the whole atmosphere was permeated by the sound of these screaming baby rakshasas, and so the, you know, no one could stand the sound. So Shiva's wife Parvati, she gave a benediction to the rakshasa race that it only take them 3 days to reach full adulthood. So that's a fast turnaround rate. So So Garukach was born, and within 3 days he's taller than a palm tree. He's big. The reason he's called Gatotkach is because when he was born, he was bald as a pot. That's what it means, literally. Bald as a pot. Gatotkach. That's what it means. So he looked like a rakshasa, like his uncle. You know, he had big, huge ears and a hooked nose and a big smile that went from ear to ear, and four huge tusks and all these, you know, big, long arms that went down to his ankles, and fingernails that scraped the ground, and big, huge rakshasa. But he only got that like that in 3 days. So he stayed and he served the Pandavas for some time. And then he's like, you know, I got to go and get some education with my people. So he went to the Himalayas. There's a bunch of rakshasas. And so they were going to teach him, you know, magic. Kind of like tantric magic kind of things. And so Garukach left, and Hidimvi left with him. And Pandavas were kind of heading out. Started to head out. They didn't really know where to go, what to do. So they actually ran into Vyasa. And Vyasa told them they should go to Ekachakra. And so off they went.